Hi, this is Connie Smith with OSU Extension in Fairfield County. Therese Hooley is with me today. She was a part of the 2019 Master Gardener class, and I wanted to bring her in because you are quite a gardener. Over the past few years, you've really expanded your garden, but you went on and you told us, I just grow everything from seed. So I asked you to bring your garden journal in, and I'm looking through your garden journal, and I see in March, you're going to start talking about peppers and tomatoes on March the 12th.
Yes.
So tell me this. You obviously start everything from seed that you can. Why do you do that?
Primarily for variety.
Okay.
I mean, I love our local garden centers, and I will still go and buy a couple different plants from them just to see if they have something different that I haven't grown in my garden. But generally, I want to try new varieties that you typically can't find in the garden center, especially with tomatoes and peppers, or certain herbs that, different varieties of dill. Generally, you'll find just the fern leaf, but I want something compact. So that's why I do it.
Yeah. And so I see here, like when we talk, maybe a lunchbox orange tomato.
Yes, and that's actually the peppers.
Oh, the peppers?
Little lunchbox sweet
peppers. Oh, the little ones, okay. Mm-hmm. But like Brandywine tomato, pink tie-dye, German Johnson. Yes. And you started all those on 3/13.
Yes.
So tell me, and you may just start two or three seeds at a time, and then you realize that you're seeing first leaves, oh my gosh, just 7 days later.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the magic date? How do you figure out when to start that?
I do look at long range forecasts.
Really?
I do look at the Farmer's Almanac.
Really?
And I use those a little bit as guides. I start, if the nights and days are warmer, I will start taking soil temperatures just to get a sense of what I'm looking at. But I'm prepared that if it's time to plant my peppers and tomatoes into bigger pots, which I will do that. And I will do it a couple times if I need to, and just, harden them off
kind
outside
them
in a
along.
Cupboard.
Yeah.
And I have found, so I did that last year. I started them earlier than I normally would, but it had been a warmer trend, earlier spring start. And so I started them a little earlier, and I repotted them twice into bigger pots.
Okay.
It ended up being my best tomato year ever.
Really?
So I don't know if they had that extra time getting hardened off in those larger pots. I do move them outside, but they're covered and protected.
Okay.
But they spent 2.5 weeks out there that they had not had before. So generally I'll do it for a week at most.
Sure.
But then when I transplanted them, they just were strong, sturdy, and they took off.
They're ready to take off and grow. Yeah.
So I'm not opposed to starting them earlier. I'd rather do that. I like to get as much out of the garden season as I can.
Right.
And my husband is asking me in May where the tomatoes are.
Oh, really?
So
he's ready. He's really ready.
He doesn't quite get this part.
Yeah, he doesn't quite get. But now we all know, like you have here, 2019, March the 9th, you start lettuces in raised bed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you do that because they're cold crops. They can
take
that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can keep using them pretty quickly.
Yes.
And you can use those as they go by. You have, like, in April, you start some garden prep. And then the third week in April, you start squash and cucumbers.
So I do start those inside. I know generally it's recommended to direct seed them.
Mm-hmm.
But I, again, like to start them in, and then I really baby them carefully.
Oh,
I mean, you do
so
have to be very careful.
So,
I'll start them in, one of the, multi seed pods, and then I'll transplant, very carefully transplant them into larger pots every couple weeks. And again, hardening them off outside. Yeah. But I have found it's, for where I live and the vast array of insects that seem to penetrate my garden, to give them a head start out of the garden and then transplanting them kind of saves them from some of those bugs that would attack them when they're so young. Okay. And
so you feel sensitive. Like getting these started and you having control mm-hmm. of start dates mm-hmm. and knowing like first leaves and knowing how they're fertilized makes you plant a better plant Correct. In your garden.
The success of that plant starts with its health when you put it in the ground.
Yeah.
So if it's stronger, healthier at that point, then it can withstand, you know,
some of the pressures.
Questionable weather. I mean, our yeah. springs are rough.
Exactly.
And so with all the rain and everything else that comes with it, yeah. I just want them to be as strong and healthy as right. they can be.
And you know what? I don't know about you, but I'm kind of thinking this year, I kind of worry what the weather is going to be.
So worried.
Because it...
I'm very worried about insects.
Yeah. And I'm really worried about, you know, we have a big Master Gardener Dig Into Gardening event mm-hmm. in April. I've seen that sometimes where we get like freezing rain in April.
Yes, yes.
You know, I mean, I hate to say that, mm-hmm. but we really haven't had a true winter this year.
No, we haven't. And it's been very unpredictable. So yeah. Who yeah. knows if
So knowing that, mm-hmm. sitting here in February, do you think you will really think about starting tomatoes and peppers in March?
Yes.
Absolutely.
No question. Like I said, I can control their environment, and
okay.
and as long as I'm prepared to, you know, do the transplanting as they need it, because you
right.
don't want to get those roots, you know, so root bound.
Right.
So as long as I'm prepared to do that, they'll be fine until I'm ready to put them in the ground.
Okay. So tell me this: I see in April, you have the second week in April garden prep. Now keep in mind. Therese does have raised beds, so her garden prep would be different than somebody mm-hmm. planting right in the soil.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things you do for garden okay. prep?
Well, we do have a built-in irrigation in all the beds, so okay. that's when we'll start flushing out the lines.
Okay.
We flush them out in the fall, but we'll flush them out again, make sure everything's working so that when it is time to plant, all I have to do is turn the water on.
Okay.
So that's the first thing. The other thing is just, I mean, I'm walking through the gardens even now in the winter and there's weeds growing. I mean, in the middle of winter,
yes, yeah,
green weeds.
Yeah.
So I'm already thinking like, okay, when it dries out a little bit, I have to go pull those before they really take root.
Mm-hmm.
But that will be part of it. I do a very light tilling. I hate to even say tilling. I usually just take a rake. And kind of rake it, loosen the soil, and then I will top it off with some organic, matter. So either mm-hmm. leaf mulch or something,
yeah.
just to kind of get that going.
And I think a big benefit for you too is that irrigation system, because we all know if Mother Nature doesn't provide us water, you need to get water somehow. Mm-hmm. And I hope you learned in Master Gardener class, the best thing to do is water from the bottom.
Yes.
And not over the top.
Correct.
To kind of inhibit some of those disease pressures.
Mm-hmm. So those slow drip, you know, mm-hmm. systems that are out there, they've worked great for me. And it prevents the foliage from getting too wet.
Yeah. So give us a little hint. what you do, you're in the Hocking Hills. What do you do to prevent critters?
Oh, well. If you see the pictures of my garden, you'll see I have a fortress built.
Yeah, you have a fortress built.
So that keeps the deer out. And thankfully, we've got plenty of apple trees for them to feed
okay,
on.
Okay. Yeah.
So they tend to stay away from the garden. On the outside, the perimeter of the garden, it is surrounded by beds. And that's where I have my garlic, my onion, things that they don't
want really
anything
like.
To do with.
Yeah.
Although it's been said they don't like sunflowers, yet they ate every single one of my sunflowers
yeah.
last year. But the deer are what the deer are. My biggest pest are the insects.
Yeah.
And every year it's something different.
It's something different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but at least you have the ability to scout. And I notice even on some of your, you know, some of your garden journal edits here, you have, you know, insect pressures, or you talk about, you know, this pepper, you said it took too long to ripen, but it was disease resistant. Mm-hmm. So a lot of different things like that you, you note that disease resistance. And for some of us who are buying, like at the local box store, sometimes you don't always get that.
No, to me, that's the other thing. That's why I like to buy and start from seed, because okay. I am very specific. Again, where we live is, I wake up every morning, it could be a drought, and I still have a ton of dew everywhere. Okay. Like, you take a hike in our grass, and your feet are going to be soaked.
Okay.
So that comes with disease pressure.
Absolutely.
Early blight, powdery mildew. So I have to be really careful. While I would love to buy all heirlooms, they don't come with disease resistance.
Yeah.
So I will, you know, really search for those varieties that offer me a little bit of resistance.
Okay. Sure.
I know that sometimes I might have to fight that. So I like to record, yes, what the disease resistance is, and then on my notes at the end of the season, I'll say successful or not.
Exactly. Well, you've even got them rated with stars. Yes. You know, like, mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I know that now. As I yesterday, I was searching through all my catalogs, said, okay, which one of these do I want to grow again? The 5-stars. You know, they're 5-star because they have excellent flavor, great disease resistance, performed very well in those, you know, our growing conditions.
So do you ever look at this and you say, like if we get to your germination chart, mm-hmm. and starting from seed, do you ever throw a variety out because they don't germinate well?
Yes. So I love ground cherries. I don't know if you've had those, but they are just so delicious. And I have tried 3 years in a row unsuccessfully to start them from seed. They take a long time to germinate.
Okay.
And they do require like the perfect temperature, which of course doesn't match any of the other growing temperature requirements for the other plants. So that's just one that I order a few plugs, you know, from a company, and then I plant them that way. Because for 3 years in a row,
you know your limitations. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. There's some tomato varieties that just in my environment do not do well, and I just have to stop trying to grow them.
Absolutely. So. Well, there's so many varieties out there, and with starting your own seeds, you get the best of both worlds.
Correct. Yes. And peppers, my husband and I are big pepper fans, and so you just don't get the variety in a garden center.
Right.
So going through a seed company gives you everything.
You get green, yellow, and red.
Every single color.
Absolutely.
And heat rating.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Gosh, it has been so much fun to have our master gardener, Therese Hooley, with me today. And we talk a little bit about seed starting and why it's important and how you can get started. I hope you'll join us again for more In the Garden with the Fairfield County Master Gardeners.